Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. For 35 years, New Life has been transforming lives one at a time thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there, and welcome to New Life Live. You know, if you heard what Terry was saying, he said that we want to provide hope and help in life's hardest places. Now, a lot of people might want to provide hope and help in life's easiest places. That is not what we're here for. We're here for the tough things, and we love it when we get to help you. Today, helping you, I want to help you, but also we have Dr. Jim Burns and we have Dr. Jill Hubbard here. And even though it's Friday the 13th, we do not think that it's bad luck having both Jill and Jim in the studio.
Yay!
Yeah. Now, we do have people that have an unrealistic obsession with the number 13. If you don't believe it, try to go stay on the 13th floor of a hotel. Mm-hmm. They don't exist. At least I haven't seen one in a very long time. There's floor 12. And floor 14. So in reality, you wouldn't want to stay on floor 14 because that's actually floor 13. So that'd be we get beyond superstition when we get into truth. And anybody believing that the number 13 has any kind of power would be, it's easy to kind of fall into that. But power we have within us is so much greater than any kind of satanic influence or power on the outside, and we just need to call on Christ. And if you struggle with this 13th obsession, every believer's thought life will get you right out of that, and you can get a copy with a gift of any amount. Do you guys have any superstitions or anything like that that influence your life? Or you probably wouldn't want to admit that, would you?
Oh, I have superstitions. You know, when I played baseball, which was a long time ago, I put on the right sock before the left sock. And, that's a little ridiculous. And I realized I didn't know what I was thinking or doing. But, yeah, that was a superstitious experience. It didn't help me with my baseball, Steve. I flunked out in high school.
But you tried.
I tried that superstition. I don't do that now.
So it's like if I do this in the same way, then I'm going to have the same outcome, right?
And
isn't that what, you know, perfectionism and obsessiveness is all about? If we can get things just so, we'll be okay.
Yeah, and we think, you know, if I wear this or if I do this, those are small things. Obviously, there's huge things that can also take people down, too.
Here's something, too. If we can just get other people okay, if we can just get them to change and fall in line, boy, then life is going to be absolutely fantastic. Tell you what, let's do. Let's go to the phones, 1-800-229-3000. Let's go to Carol. She's calling from Boston, Massachusetts, listens to another great station, WEZE. Hi, Carol. How are you today?
I am well. I have envisioned what you people would say for years, and I finally am calling.
Good for you.
So I have been married. You guys are awesome, yes. So I've been married for 16 years and been with my husband for about 20. Our marriage has never been consummated. We were together as a result of an affair. Mm-hmm. So part of that with me not pushing him was guilt. Mm-hmm. And feeling I didn't deserve it. He had tremendous anxiety, and anytime I brought it up, it made it worse. So here I am all these years later, and I realize I've missed out, and I grieve, and I get upset. I've counseled, I've talked to him. What do I do with it? I bury it, and then, like, a couple of weeks ago, I just let loose and screamed at him and Yeah. Say, I can't get these years back, so I'm trying. So,
okay.
What kind we're going to help you. He's an alcoholic.
I have to go to a break, but I'm going to help you, and I'm so glad you called, and so sorry that you've gone through this, and it's also a common problem.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back, and I so feel for anyone who isn't getting to experience the sexual intimacy in marriage that God has provided us. And I would just say this, that as in this case, when it comes up, many times it's beyond what you can say to inspire or motivate the other person to consummate or be sexual or have a greater frequency. Many times you just have to ask and maybe even sometimes demand, we need to get some help for this. It's so complicated. And we were talking about this, Carol, at the break. So if you had an affair, you did have sex before you got married, is that right?
No, maybe it wasn't really an affair. And that's part of the problem. I told him, we've gone this far, I'm not going to have sex till we get married. And then when we did, he couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And he says it was, for years he blamed me because I messed with his head.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So you had an emotional affair, yeah, and you each were married
emotional
before.
Emotional for a few years. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it was a little more than emotional. It just wasn't the full consummation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what happened with his wife or your husband?
Well, actually, I was able to have great closure with my husband. He died a year and a half ago. But before that, we had very good closure. He's a Christian. He finally forgave me after all those years. It was a wonderful blessing. His wife was a prison warden, and she wasn't happy about the whole thing. And but that was like 20 years ago, so we've moved past that.
Yeah. Okay. So what is the question for us at this point? What are you wanting us to help you with?
Well, at this point, do I just let go of this and just, because we've tried, like he can't seem to physically do anything, and he tries a little bit now in the last year or two, but do I just let go of this in my life and say, this is just the way God has it for me,
I don't want you to let go of it, because
I have felt like I'm being punished for years, because I've had an affair, and
I was
pregnant at 13, so my sexual life is a little bit abnormal.
Okay, yeah. so you're calling us asking for some advice, and we want to give that to you. And I'm going to say, given the fact that recently you were trying, I wouldn't give up on this. What I would give up on is sexual intercourse and shift to having sexually pleasing times together where you're able to be, first of all, close, secondly, intimate, and then third, sexual. But don't expect him to be able to have intercourse or you either, and just have some regular times of sexual experience together, being close, holding each other, and enjoy that. Many times, you just don't know what might happen. And secondly, I'm wondering if he's ever consulted a doctor about the inability to perform and function sexually. Has he ever talked to a doctor about that?
Yes, and he's tried some things, but they don't seem to be enough. But this is good for me to hear that maybe I'm shouldn't keep expecting that and being disappointed. Just enjoy what we have together.
Well, right. Because it's also common with women that you reach a point and pain, different things like that, you can't have intercourse. And so then the sexual part of marriage is given up, but there can still be sexual enjoyment together, even though it's not the way it was or the way it is in all the movies. Jill, what are your thoughts on the new Jim?
I think definitely continue on with the doctors and pursue that route. But
yes,
I think what Steve is prescribing, Carol, can take the pressure off. If you tell him the end result, the end goal is not intercourse for now. I want to enhance our emotional connection and our physical affection. And just work on being affectionate and connecting emotionally and being close, like Steve is saying. If that pressure is removed from him, he may be more open. Men tend to be more focused on their performance, and they don't realize that even though women would like that, we are less focused on how well they perform. We're not judging them, saying, wow, you did such a good job. We want to be close. And so if you can remind him of those things, that you don't care about his performance. You just want to feel close and loved and connected to him. And whatever happens, happens. But let's just take intercourse off the table so you don't have to worry about that. And do that for a period of time.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Jim, your thoughts.
Now, Carol, I'm going to take it.
This is great.
Carol, I'm going to take it a little bit different because I agree with them. I totally do that. You know, you can have pleasure. You can have intimacy. You can kiss passionately. In fact, you know, there's that old movie that says, you know, I don't have with a prostitute saying I don't have sex with or I don't kiss my clients, but I'll have sex with them because kissing is way too intimate. So, you know, find other ways of dealing with intimacy and passion, please hear, and pleasure, by the way. However, where I'm going to take it another step is, and Jill referred to this, is, you know, there's help for people who can't have sexual intercourse. And I would not give up on that. I wouldn't put the pressure on him, but it's been 16 years.
Yeah.
20, if you would, if you count. So because it's been 16 years and you never have, you know, had this experience, you know, there's something else going on. And I want to get to the root issue.
Yeah.
You're not going to get the root issue by just going sometimes even to just your primary doctor. You may have to go to somebody who specializes in this. I've got two friends in Pasadena who are brilliant at it. And they basically say your situation can be helped. They believe that. One is a nurse and one is a psychotherapist who specializes in it. And they said they have never found a situation where people haven't moved toward that. If they do what Steve and Jill are telling you to do, but then also get to the root issue. I don't know that you all have gotten to the root issue. And you know, the root issue might be as simple. You mentioned he was an alcoholic. And, you know, a lot of times alcoholics have trouble with their plumbing, if you would, and people forget that. So what you may want to do is you know, you got a lot of issues there. But I would start and get some victories, if you would, just in terms of pleasure. And you know what? If you have to initiate. If you tell him in the morning, hey, you know what? I'm looking forward to, you know, spending some, you know, quiet time around the TV and we can cuddle and – you know, and initiation doesn't mean you're cheap or any of that kind of stuff. Please don't hear that. You're married to him. Okay?
Yeah. And is he a recovering alcoholic or not recovering?
Oh, he's not recovering.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's
that's huge.
that's
a bigger deal than anything we're talking about here. And I hear things differently, and I kind of heard recovering alcoholic, and you didn't say that. But that's...
No.
Really where the good stuff starts. When he starts to recover from the alcoholism, he is now able to think differently and be present in a way that he's not right now. And all sorts of impotency problems arise from untreated alcoholism. Mm-hmm. So why is that not an issue that has been dealt with? What's going on there?
It's an issue. His dad was an alcoholic. He didn't want to be like his dad. He was
he's just
the floor drunk when he came home.
Okay, so he's just like his dad.
But his brother is does not drink at all, and he's a miserable, raging, miserable person.
Okay.
He doesn't want to be like that either.
Nothing so, you've said, nothing
okay,
you've
so
said.
Okay, so why are those the only options?
Yeah.
Sorry, Steve.
Right, go ahead.
Say it again. What's the only
why
option?
Are those the only options? To be a drunk on the floor or a rageaholic who just isn't drinking but is like a dry drunk? They're... Lots of people recover, and actually, when you don't have the alcohol that's subverting all of your emotions, you start to get flooded with emotions in recovery, mm-hmm. which then leads you to what are the deeper issues. You also mentioned that he has a lot of guilt and issues around the affair. Okay, what else does he have guilt?
I'm the one with more guilt.
Okay. Well, there's feelings there that he is drowning, that he doesn't even want to get close to. And the alcohol, as Steve was saying, gets in the way of intimacy. You're not intimate. His first love is alcohol.
So here's the real deal. Here's the real deal. You've enabled the alcoholism to continue over this time. And now is the time for you to develop the courage for you to start going to Al-Anon, for you to start dealing with why it is you've enabled this thing to exist in the marriage. And one of the symptoms is what you called about. And I really do believe that he will be like so many other men who have recovered from alcoholism. He will have a different experience sexually and emotionally with you, but you're going to have to figure out, why have I let this happen?
Well, he won't go.
You can go. And then you can contact a specialist who helps people that won't go to go. There's a way to get him to go, but you can't do it on your own. And he's going to just settle for the easy path, and you don't have to. If you hold on, we're going to help you. I'm going to send you a Life Recovery Bible, and I'm going to send you two, one for you, one for him. And I really hope that he might take a look at the workbook and start to look at that. I hope and pray that it could be the beginning. I'll send you Every Believer's Thought Life also. But I think you guys getting to intimacy in marriage, the workshop that we're doing in Orange County, could open the door to him becoming willing to get some help he's not willing to get right now. But you're going to have to give up that answer of he won't get help. You're going to have to replace that with, I have not done the things that need to be done for him to get the help he needs. It's going to be a really tough, courageous move on your part. So glad that you called. You know, anybody that's struggling, if you call us, we'll help you. We can introduce you to an interventionist, all sorts of things that we can help you with. But don't just settle for this person will never get better. That just doesn't have to be. Many people are sober today and living great lives that folks thought they could never, ever, or would never, ever get help. All right. So glad she called. Let's go and talk with Amy from Columbus, Ohio. Sirius XM is where she listens. Hello, Amy. How are you today? And how could we help you?
I'm doing good.
What's going on in your life? Hi.
Well, I had a sister that died 2 weeks ago and had made a will within the last year. She lived away from the family all her adult life except for the last 11 months.
Okay.
We moved her here because of illness. And she made a will, and my oldest brother is executor, and in the will it says that we are the three heirs, her siblings, but my brother, as executor, has moved all the money into his name, and my sister-in-law's name and is not following what the will says, but what he perceives her intentions were.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know how, as a Christian, how do I move forward? My spirit, my faith-based therapist says that what he's doing is evil.
Okay, we'll help you.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Really hope and pray that you tell somebody about the program. They might get some help. And, you know, we've talked about Friday the 13th, and if fear is an emotion that you're struggling with, emotional freedom on January the 21st could be a great, great resolution to whatever those fears are. Jackie Mack Harris, Chris Williams, myself, it's going to be a great workshop. It's online, easy to access, and we still, you know, find great, great results there. So give it a try if you are not free emotionally. And also, gift of any amount, every believer's thought life. Now, we're talking with Amy. And it is so fascinating when someone dies and there's money involved, relationships that were thought to be strong and unquestionable, they end up in trouble over money. Jim, yeah. You want to jump in here and help her do the right thing?
Well, I'm so sorry, Amy. I mean, it's hard enough to lose someone you really care about. And it sounds like the timeline you were giving us is that she moved around all of you 11 months ago. 12 months ago, she did the will and put you all in charge. So it seems rather odd that this brother is the one who knows she meant something different. Like, if she had meant something different, why wasn't it changed prior to? And it seems right to me that anything that is in one's will is to be followed. That's a legal document. And so there's the question of, and this is hard with family members, but getting some legal advice, because you're right, families do this. They steal from each other, and it's unfortunate, and it changes the dynamics forever.
Yeah. And you know, Amy, right, what Jill is saying is you're not being a bad sister to bring another attorney into this, because literally it sounds like it's a pretty clear-cut case. Again, we had, you know, 1 minute in terms of your explanation. But it's a pretty clear-cut case that your brother is not an attorney. He's interpreting the will differently, but even his attorney would interpret it, I'm sure, the way that, you know, you are. And probably you're going to probably have to get another attorney. Now the other issue is how you want to relate to your brother, because, you know, you can simply say, you know what, we're getting another attorney just to make sure that you know, this is right. We want to do what she wants. We also want a relationship with you. And that's the harder part. Now, I don't know how your brother's going to react to that, but sometimes we do have to give even our loved ones tough love. Tough love isn't being mean and going tit for tat. Tough love is allowing the circumstances of their choices to carry out, and his choice of taking all the money, putting it in his bank account. I think it's illegal, probably. Again, I'm not an attorney. But
he may have had her sign something that said,
yeah,
it was,
yeah,
okay.
No, right. So you want an attorney to take a look at that, because, again, he's not an attorney and you're not an attorney, but you are brother and sister. So, you know, I'd kind of separate the two if you possibly can, and just say, okay, well, we've got our attorney to kind of look at this. And if you and your sibling were together on that, then you don't have to get into the mean-spirited stuff. If he starts doing it, then you say, well, you know, this is what they're saying. We still love you. However, we're looking at a legal document. Now, again, he may have a document that you don't have or that you haven't seen, but that's why you have attorneys.
Okay.
Well, and he may be putting the money into an account and then dividing it up from there, right? You perhaps don't know.
He's going to give some to a friend of hers, and the rest he wants to divide between the 15, our 15 grandchildren. And okay. It just so happens he has 6 grandchildren, and the other two of us have 3 and 1.
Okay, so here's the deal. Here, let me just jump in. First thing you want to do is you want to have the other parties, you and anybody else that is, or you believe is listed in that will, you want to have a conversation with him first. You want to, you know, say, we're going to have one final conversation here. We don't think that this is what she intended. Or you say, we want you to explain to us why you think this is what she intended. Because we don't. And we've had conversations with her, and this is what we heard her say. And so you give him an opportunity to explain it to you. And then when he finishes explaining, you express what you actually want. See if he will give you that. I don't think he will. But when he doesn't, then you say, well, we're just going to have a third party come in. That's when you present the attorney. But you give him the chance to respond first and tell you what he's thinking. Like you say, maybe he does have a document that you don't have or something like that. But it is important.
We all heard her say that.
Yeah, well, no. And a guy like him will hope to manipulate you, hope that you won't do anything but wish it was different. And you need to, you can't win this without an attorney. And it's really sad that it gets to that point. You're not suing him. You're just getting a judgment, a fair judgment and resolution on her will. Glad you called.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. And I'm going to send her a copy of the one-year Bible for Women. Misty did the commentary there. And if you look at some of the comments on Facebook, and it's really fascinating. One of the things that she wrote about was the fact, and listen to this, that Jesus descended from Lot. People go, what? No, he didn't. He descended from the line of Abraham. Well, my wife would never write something that wasn't true. Lot was Abraham's nephew. And through Lot, you get to Ruth. And so Boaz came from the Abraham line, and Ruth came from Lot's line. So there's how you get Lot as being Jesus being a descendant of Lot and Abraham.
Wow.
Ruth and Boaz. So anyway, it's just fascinating to learn some of these things as you go through the Bible in a year. Larry's here, and it feels like a year since you've been here. And Larry, what do you have for us today?
Well, I just wanted to comment that Misty has a lot of wisdom.
She does. They're very good.
There's a testimony that is really kind of special. It came through Terry Ward, our life recovery coordinator here. She shared that there was a lady who was an alcoholic named Liz, and Liz drank her way through college. She met her boyfriend who joined the drinking, and together they experimented in drugs. She described her life as a train wreck of alcoholism and addiction. You fast forward to her age at 26, and her mom told her about this Steve Arterburn guy. Said, you've got to hear him. So mom signed them both up for Healing as a Choice workshop. Now, that's been probably 15 years ago now.
Yeah.
She loved the workshop, but she was still drinking and admitted that she left the workshop and she was not sober. Well, she got pregnant with her boyfriend, stopped drinking through her pregnancy, had a baby boy, started drinking again, and when the baby was 19 months old, her boyfriend was arrested for a DUI. The next day, they both went to church together. There was an altar call, and they both went forward. Eventually, they married, and they've been sober now for 14 years. The cool part of the story is she now leads a life recovery group at her church and is taking classes to be a counselor. And, you know, there are seeds planted all along the way with her. And one of those seeds was the Steve Arterburn guy, and he was a choice. So you never know who you're reaching and how you're reaching them, but this is when you reach pretty profoundly, Steve.
Oh, it's wonderful. And so grateful that that Healing is a Choice workshop would have never happened if people hadn't supported us. And we've always had support. We've always been partners with supporters from the very beginning. And that's, what you described there is a miracle. It's an absolute
It is.
Miracle.
And, you know, the beauty of that story is that we call this full cycle discipleship.
Mm-hmm.
They came in, they got the help. Hey, it didn't happen immediately, but now they're giving help. And wow, when you start looking at the multiplication of that, some donor that many years ago gave some money, had no idea that that was going to be the case. You know, and until they get to heaven, we'll straighten it all out. But what a beautiful story of full cycle discipleship.
Well, and that their son has a chance, right? Because
totally.
Of their recovery.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Well, she went to a workshop 15 years ago, and then you know, a baby 19 months, and then 14 years more, they're sober. And, well, that's a long time.
Here's something you may not be aware of, Larry, but every year she calls in and says another year.
I remember.
So that's pretty amazing. I know who you're talking about. Yep. And it is actually before the workshop, she had to have a couple of belts just to sit through what I was saying. And so God works in wonderfully mysterious ways if we'll let him. But I just want to say again, that happened because of support.
Yeah.
And we want you to support us. If you do, I'll send you brand new book, Every Believer's Thought Life, Our Way of Saying Thank You. What else you want to tell us, Larry, before you go?
Just the word thank you to everybody who is supporting and has or is thinking about it. I really want to appeal to you folks who are thinking about it. I can't tell you the number of times I've talked to people that said, I've been meaning to make a gift to you for years, and today I'm finally going to do it. And so I hope you're one of those people today that'll say, someday's today, and we're going to do it right now.
Someday is today. Tomorrow never comes.
Right.
It really doesn't. All right.
Thanks.
Thank you, Larry. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you can help us. And again, any kind of gift, I'll send you the brand new book, Every Believer's Thought Life. It's a way to defeat the destructive mental patterns and gain victory over the temptations of the mind. Well, let's go back to our phones. And how about we talk with Wendy from Washington, Tanasket, Washington, Sirius XM satellite radio there. Hello, Wendy. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly. How could we help you?
I have a very dear friend who talks like she knows Jesus, but she doesn't act like she knows Jesus. And she's in her final stages of COPD. She has trouble breathing. The doctor's putting her on morphine. She is looking at a very short period of time before she leaves this earth. How can I help her in that transition into the life she's to go to, instead of being so afraid of the life she's leaving behind?
Well, that's a great, great question. When you bring up eternity, spiritual things, what's her response to that when you start talking about things like this?
Well, she says, "Oh, I believe," and kind of writes it off. She's having difficulty right now with enough oxygen to the brain to even think clearly sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's challenging to talk with her.
Yeah.
She is alone. Her family is spread out. She's lost many friends because of her, I'm going to use the word caustic behavior with other people.
Okay.
She is a child of alcoholism in her family, and she is not an alcoholic, but she's a survivor. So she has this caustic behavior, and even tells me, "You're the only friend that I can dump on, and you still come back as my friend."
Yeah. Okay.
Because I don't see the darts hitting me. I see what's behind her that's causing it.
And
but
that's
I need to reach
so
her for eternity.
Yeah.
Yes,
okay.
I need to reach her for eternity.
All right, well, let's start with you, Jim. What do you think is the... You've heard the situation here and even having a hard time thinking straight because of the oxygen deprivation. What do you think?
You know what, Wendy? I think you are reaching her. Mm-hmm. You're being a Christ... follower who loves her regardless of how she's reacting. She's verbally saying to you, "I believe." Now, is she acting like it every time? No. But, when there was a woman named Elizabeth Kubler Ross, and you can look this up. She studied death and dying, and she said at the end, whether people are Christian or not, they want a right relationship with God, and they want a right relationship with their loved ones. And so you're a loved one who is giving her that hope. Don't expect her to, a lot of people don't make some kind of a turnaround, but I think you're saying she believes. So don't say, "I need to reach her." You are reaching her. And, when people are in her stage, I had a brother who passed away and who was in that stage. I read him some Psalms and he would just kind of look at me. And one time, I didn't ever know if he caught it. And then one time, a tear came to his eyes and it went down. I'm tearing up as I think about this. Mm. So I guess I was reaching him, but I didn't know it. And I was frustrated. I'd leave and I'd go, "I'm frustrated. I don't know if he heard anything." I had to say, "Be there. Be present. Hold her hand. Get her prepared for this." You don't have to say a lot. I know somebody who was at death's door but they could still speak. And they said, "I have a friend who comes and just holds my hand and I never want them to leave. And I have other friends who, give me lots of Bible verses and I get tired of that." By no means were they saying they were tired of the Bible. They just simply went, "I just love this person." It was kind of an old truck driver guy who would come and hold the hand of this other guy. So be there. You're reaching her.
Well, what about this, Jim? Oh, go ahead, Jill.
Oh, I love that. So it's like, be Jesus to her, Wendy. Yeah. It's too late to work on her behavior.
Yeah.
Right? So be Jesus to her. And here's the thing. Because she had alcoholic parents or an alcoholic father, it's hard for her probably to embrace the idea of being intimate with God. Mm-hmm. So let her be intimate with you.
Yes.
Right? And let her talk, if she can, about what she's afraid of.
Go ahead.
You can just reassure her that Jesus will meet you on the other side, Wendy, or whatever
and
your friend's name is.
You might want to say, when you say that you believe, I want to tell you what that means to me. I believe, and that means this. Yeah. And, you're talking about Christ offering grace and hope, taking the sacrifice. And see how she responds to that, and you might find that what she believes is exactly what you believe too.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
All right, we are back and glad you're with us here today. Here's a great proverb to put in that thought life of yours. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. To me, that means two things. One, hey, let's get the truth of God's word in us, and let's live by it, and let's acknowledge God as the leader. But the other thing, for a few decades here, I've been listening to other people. I've heard the wisdom of so many people sitting in these other chairs, and I lean on their understanding and try to communicate that, what I've learned from them. So I'm just saying we need to always be open to other people and to be learners and listeners, because there are a lot of people that are a lot wiser than we are, and I've been fortunate to work with a lot of wise people. So anytime we get to thinking we know it all, well, there's something you don't know, because you don't know it all. So you're proving that you don't know it all, because you don't. All right, 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help. Right now, let's go to Wendy. Wait, we talked to Wendy, but I didn't send her anything. I'm going to send her a one-year Bible for women, and then I also want to send her a restoration Bible for this person who is dying, this friend who's dying of COPD. But we'll go to Tiffany and see how Tiffany's doing today and see if we can help Tiffany. Tiffany, you are on New Life Live, and we're glad that you are. Hi.
Yes. Hey, how are you?
Excellent.
Little ears are in the car. Good. I was going to say little ears are in the car, so I'm not going to speak personally, if that makes sense.
No, it makes a lot of sense.
Calling in for a friend.
Yes.
Okay. Calling in for a friend whose spouse has been unfaithful about 4 or 5 times. And they have not been consecutively, but here, this last one, it's been some years, and she just found out a year ago of another one. She has decided that she would try to work things out, but this time, just as long as he would be willing to participate in moving forward and not sweeping under the rug, he's doing that this time, deciding to sweep it under the rug. So she is being forced to kind of make a decision. She's not wanting to handle it like all the other times.
Good. Because that hasn't helped.
It has not helped. She's taking she is seeing a counselor. And so she's just trying to get strong enough to a point where when she leaves, she can stake on. But she told me that she heard you tell someone on the radio, this lady who was going through a similar situation, she could identify with, because she said she was just wanting to trust in God. And you had told her that her trusting in God is not going to change him.
Right.
And I that was really interesting to her. And if you could just elaborate that on that little bit more, because it was hard to process that.
Well, yes. Even a clearer thing is when someone says, I'm waiting on the Lord. Well, what that means is I'm going to do nothing, and I'm going to use this spiritual thing, waiting on the Lord, which is a good thing to wait on the Lord, but that doesn't mean that we can not do the responsible thing as we're waiting on the Lord. That doesn't apply to every situation. If your child is about to jump off a creek bed into a raging river, we don't wait on the Lord. We grab that child. That'd be silly for someone to say, I'm waiting on the Lord to save my child, rather than grab them and help them. So we don't want to use God as an excuse to be passive. And yes, you want to grow in your faith so that you can have the courage to do what you haven't done before. And that is to be strong, direct, and to set down some requirements that you don't go back on, because the requirements have consequences if not followed. Jill, Jim, what are you thinking here? Don't have a lot of time, but I know you've got some wisdom for her.
Well, I just want to emphasize that it's not that we're saying don't trust God or that God doesn't have an impact.
Right.
But I think, Steve, what you said about that being an excuse for people to not make a move. And, you know, we're always trusting God, but we are taking action steps to do what needs to be done. It's the praying for the miracle while moving forward with the reality of what is. And the reality is, if someone is not willing to look at themselves, to get the help needed, and they just want to pretend it doesn't exist, that is unacceptable. Because there's no such thing as three people in a marriage, right? Or right,
so what he does is, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Go ahead. No, you go.
So what he does is, and my child has left the car.
Okay.
What he does is this last time has been different from all the other ones because he actually took accountability for it. So I thought maybe he was retentive about what he did, but that lasted for about a good solid, maybe a couple of weeks.
Sure.
And then,
okay, so when you say he's repentant or he's accepted responsibility, that doesn't mean he admits it. That means that he puts into place a character-building program so that it doesn't ever happen again. He doesn't do something that just placates you for a while. He does something real that is going to change his character. And so now don't settle for anything he says. Settle only for what you see him do. That's the main thing for you. Jim, what are you thinking as we're talking about
this? Well, I think you're in charge, Tiffany, on this one. And again, I circled, I took some notes, and you know, four or five times is a lot. So he has this propensity to go in that direction. You're in charge. And so you set the boundaries. You set the rules now. And unfortunately, if he's not willing to do those rules, then there are going to be some hard consequences for him. And, you know, there's some little kids in this situation. So, you know, that's a tough thing. But if you don't hold to good boundaries, here's what I'm expecting, or else this is going to happen, I'm afraid it will continue. He does have that propensity.
You just need to tell him, you go to every man's battle. Mm-hmm. That's what you do. If you are serious
about
this, you go and do what people have done when they really, truly want to become men of sexual integrity. And anything less than that, I'm proceeding with separation and divorce. And I've never been at this place before, but I'm tired of listening to you talk. You either go to every man's battle or we don't have a marriage. And your children will know why we don't have a marriage. You have to get that tough with him because he's not listening to anything else. You're listening to him, and I don't want you to do that anymore because he's not truthful. He's truthful in the moment, but he's not truthful in a way that changes his behavior. Is that hard to hear or what?
No, no, it's not, and that is where I am. I was just making sure it's okay for me to be
good.
Here.
Good. Well, let me send you a copy of Worthy of Her Trust, and I'll also send you a copy of Every Believer's Thought. Thank you, Jim Burns, and thank you, Jill Hubbard. Thanks to all of you who listen, watch, pray. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.